And thank you, Lord, for your word. Make it alive for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Isn't it interesting in this text? We see the truth, and then we see man's foolish lies. Just like everything, there's a counterfeit to the truth. What a dumb story they told the people. And they still believe it. Can you believe that? You know, on Good Friday, we went over death. The death of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The Son of God, he left heaven. I love those songs we sang today. He left heaven. He took upon himself humanity and was and always like us, except without sin. He qualified to be the sacrifice, that Lamb of God, to be offered up for our sin. He came for all mankind, and he came to provide a way to heaven. We shared that Friday. He died so we now can live. You know, I like the word life better than the word death. Because when the world talks about death, when you hear about death here, you consider death here. It's not, you know, we don't walk around talking about death. We like life. You know, many people are searching for the fountain of life. Keep reading things, what they're working on and things they're trying to find, how to prolong life and give you a better life and better ways to live. They may find a way to prolong life or make us feel better, but they're never going to find a way to let you and I live forever here. It'll never happen. But people like life. I like life, you know. People fear death. But people love life, especially when things are going well. Maybe you walked in here today and things are just great. Everything's in order and you feel great. And I love life. Anyone here ever lost someone very close to them? If you've lost someone close to you that you love, were friends with, or and they were a believer, but you lost them and now they're gone. Christian, you need to know this. They have just moved to a better place and you're going to see them again. Isn't that great? Whenever I think about lost loved ones that knew the Lord, I think, but wait a minute, I'm going to see my mom again or so-and-so again. See, they're in a better place. And it's great that you'll see them again because they will be with Jesus when you get there, and so will you. Isn't that awesome? One family. That's comforting to know that. You know, we're just separated for a while. It's just a little while. And that's reality. You know, Jesus said to Martha one day, if you'd like to turn to John chapter 11, please. John 11, verse 25. And Jesus told this to Martha after losing her brother Lazarus. In verse 25, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he said, do you believe this? That's quite a statement, isn't it? I am the resurrection and the life, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. That means we don't have to fear death because we're never going to die. Why would you fear something you're never going to get? Death is never going to hit me or you. We're going to leave the body that was made for this earth and go to our home. That's all it is. It's like the astronauts took a trip to the moon in a spacesuit, because that atmosphere up on the moon is no good for human beings. So they went there and they dwelt there in this artificial environment. When they came back here home, they could take it off and live. That's the way it is for us. We're just going to leave this spacesuit. Really, this is the earth suit, and then we're going to put on our heavenly suit. And then we're going to be forever with the Lord. Isn't that great? That takes away the grip of and the fear of death. Because perfect love casts out all fear, the Bible tells us. We're going to live. That's quite a statement. And he says, do you believe this? And verse 27, she said, yes, Lord, I believe. You're the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. If you believe it, you're at peace today. If you don't, you're wondering what's going on today. People are celebrating something. Something about a tomb and death. You know what sounds good to me? Living in a place that's just great. That's what sounds good to me. Revelation 21, if you would like to turn there. Revelation 21, verse 4 and 5. Did you walk in with tears in your eyes or sorrow in your heart? Good news about your new home, Revelation 21, verse 4. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. Oh, does that sound good? Get rid of the medication, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Doesn't that sound great? And it's real. But unbelievers also will be resurrected, as John tells us, to condemnation. And as you read Revelation 21, and you go down a little bit, like verse 8, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, just unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake. They've got a place for them in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, that doesn't sound too good to me. There's two places to go once you die. Not really die, just move on. There is life after death. That's great. I'm happy because I'm going to a good place. If you turn to John chapter 5, verse 28. John 5, verse 28. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice. Come forth, those who have done good, which is being clothed in righteousness of Christ, to the resurrection of life, to those who have done evil, denying him, to the resurrection of condemnation. See, I think people don't understand there is a resurrection for all. Christian, there's a resurrection day for all. But Christians celebrate that resurrection today because it's to life. It's so good. It's called life, eternal life, in a great place where there's no more pain. But those that aren't Christ, to a different place, they have their part in the lake of fire. Now, how does one gain eternal life in heaven? We went over that Friday, by receiving and believing Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You know, in John 14, 1 to 6, well, let's turn there. John chapter 14, verses 1 to 6. In John 14, 1 to 6, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. You see, they were troubled because they were with Jesus, and now Jesus tells them he's leaving. And, well, what are we going to do when Jesus isn't around? And so people do fear death. They get troubled, but we don't have to. And he comforts them here. He says, do not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So that's how we get to this place called heaven, paradise, where there's no more pain and no more sorrow and no more crying, no more broken hearts. Now, as we read that, some people might say, I don't believe it. I hope there's no one here that's saying in their heart, I don't believe it. Martha said she did. When you and I get to heaven, we're going to see Martha. Isn't that great? Well, know this. One doesn't have to believe it for it to be true. We know that about everything. There's people that don't believe things that are very obvious. And you say in your mind, are you an idiot or what? Don't you see? But because a person doesn't believe it, doesn't mean it's not true. You know, I've not believed, not spiritually, well, before I was a Christian, I didn't believe in some things, but just in life, I've not believed in many things that in the past that turned out to be true. What about you? And once, you know, and you say, once you find out it was true, you say, I can't believe it, that it's true. I would have sworn it's not true. Now, did you ever not believe your spouse? They tell you something, especially men. You know, your spouse tells you something, okay. And you either come back at them or kind of just walk away and say, that's okay. Let them believe that, but we'll see who's right. Did you ever do that? And then you find they were right. Isn't it embarrassing? And, you know, women don't have probably as hard a time, but men, they've got to find some kind of an excuse. Well, I didn't know that you really said that or whatever. You didn't really say that. Yes, I did. I can't believe it's true. So someone doesn't have to believe something for it to be true. The big problem with the eternal life and believing about what Jesus said about eternal life is one must believe it and believe in Jesus by faith now when they're living. You see? They can't wait to find out like we can with other things. They've got to believe it now by faith without seeing and say it's true. Because once they see the truth, it's too late. And I've said this before. Every single person that's ever died from the beginning of the world, if they could come back and have 1 minute with you and share something about what's going on the other side, they would all say, believe it, it's true. And I don't care where they are. They would all say that, but it's too late. They're not going to be able to stand before the Lord and say, oh, it's true. Okay, I now believe, let me in. It's too late, you see? That's why we're told to preach the gospel while people are alive. We don't go to cemeteries and preach the gospel. We go to our job site, schools, neighborhoods, all over to preach the gospel, and we live it out. Because it's true. Now, Jesus proved he's the way. We look at our text today, and we can see that it's true. We left Friday with Jesus dead and buried in a sealed tomb. Now, is he true? Is he life? Is it right? Is it truth? Does he have power over death? Is there life after death? There are many people that don't believe there is. Is there life after death? Well, we're going to see in our text, verse 1, where they said, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. First day of the week would make it Sunday. We worship the Lord and meet on a Sunday now because that's when Christians gathered together and did these things that they took part in. In Acts 20, verse 7, we see that. It was on the first day of the week. They worshiped on the Sabbath, which more or less was most of Saturday. We worship on the Lord's Day, which is the first day of the week under the new covenant. It tells us the day began to dawn. And the Marys came to the tomb. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. Now, you notice it says here, they came to see the tomb. It doesn't say they came to see Jesus. It says they came to see the tomb. They knew he was dead. And they had no idea, even though he had spoken in the past, that he would be alive. But they came to see the tomb. And another gospel, it tells us they came to anoint him, do these details that they would do for someone, wanted to take care of his body. They came to the tomb, not to see Jesus. They came to anoint him. They were concerned, though, who would roll away the stone. We see that in Mark 16. They were worried, like, who's going to roll the stone away for us so that we can anoint the body of Jesus? They considered him dead. Now, what happened? Behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. A supernatural thing happened. An angel comes down, the stone is rolled away, and the angel sits on it. They were concerned, who's going to roll away the stone? We want to minister to the Lord and anoint his body, but who's going to get rid of that stone for us? Don't ever let circumstances or what you see prohibit you from serving the Lord. The best thing they knew to do for Jesus at this time was anoint his body. They stepped out in faith, and while they were going, they were talking about who's going to remove the stone. See, we can get put on the shelf and miss out on what God has for us if we want to take care of the details first before we step out in faith. It's always faith first. Jesus said, don't take any thought for tomorrow. Don't you have enough to worry about today? You know, and so we don't think about tomorrow. We don't even think ahead. We live in the moment where the Lord wants us to live. And whatever he puts on our heart to do for him, we just step out to do it and let the Lord roll the stones away. See? Or else he'll give us the power to jump over them. Any obstacles. But they did what they knew to do, and God took care of it. You know, he spoke, and it was a great earthquake. Whenever God is speaking to us here, to man, many times we see earthquakes accompanying that. You know, at the crucifixion, and a great thing was happening. The resurrection. Remember on Mount Sinai when the law was given to Moses? Great earthquake. It's like God is speaking and the earth trembles. He gets the earth's attention. Like, I'm speaking, listen up. I know an earthquake gets my attention. You know, and we haven't had one for a while. But when you get one and it's going on and going on, you're saying, is this the one? It gets your attention. And whenever there's a big one, it brings many back to church. Earthquakes do that. They get people's attention. Now the angel's sitting on the stone. Now, the stone was rolled away to let the people see that it's empty, not to let the Lord out. He was gone. Verse 3, his countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. He was brilliant. You know, in Hebrews 1, verse 7, it says he makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. They've always appeared like that. Very awesome. And the guards, verse 4, shook for fear of him and became like dead men. See, when you don't know the Lord and you see something that seems to be miraculous, it sets fear in your heart, in the world's heart, because they don't know what to make of it. Hey, there's something going on. And, oh, you know, is God real? Is he moving? Is he doing something? All who don't know him will be fearful when that day they leave here comes. But the angel comforts them, verse 5, but the angel answered and said to them, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. I know why you're here. He says, you're in the right place, ladies. You've got the right tomb, right on schedule, just as planned. You know, sometimes we don't understand spiritual things. He says, you know, do not be afraid. So apparently there was a little fear in their hearts. They didn't know what was going on. And sometimes we don't understand what God's doing. You know, spiritual things are happening, or even physical things God's bringing into our life, and we don't understand them, and we become fearful. Just listen to the Lord talking to you here. Do not be afraid. Don't look at the things that are happening and be afraid. You're a Christian. You're God's sons, God's daughters. He's got a plan for you. He's working in your life. He's taking you through storms. Sometimes he takes you around them. He's blessing you. He's testing you. All kinds of things are happening in our life, in the life of a Christian. Don't be afraid. Oh, everything was okay, but I got home and now everything's a mess and I don't know what to do. God's still on the throne. He's still working out your life. Trust him. Trust him to take care. Go to him in prayer. Worship him. He says, ladies, you're in the right place. You're doing the right thing. And then Matthew 28, verse 6, I believe this is the greatest verse in the Bible. Well, after John 3, 16. Man, well, there's a lot of great verses in the Bible. But look at this verse. This is our faith right here. He is not here, for he has risen as he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. Aren't those awesome words? He is not here. Sometimes you don't know what's going to happen. You're hoping a certain thing happens. Maybe you're going to the doctor and you're waiting for some news. Maybe you're going in for a job interview. Maybe you're waiting to hear about a relative. Maybe you're looking forward to a ministry. There are a lot of things in life that we get a little nervous and excited about. We don't know what's going to happen when that day comes or when that point comes, and you get a little nervous. But isn't it wonderful when that moment comes and then you hear positive good news? Isn't that wonderful? It's like, all the anxiety is gone. All the anxiety is gone. Can you imagine how this was on that day? When they look in that tomb, if he's there, we're not here. We're not here. There'd be some business here in this building. If he's not there in that tomb. But guess what? He isn't there. That means everything he said is true. It's all true. So we can believe it all. Because he said, after 3 days, I will rise again. By the way, do you know anyone that ever did that? I don't. It's true. He's true. He's not. He has risen from the dead. Victory, he lives. I'll bet you their hearts were pounding, wondering what would be said and what they would see. There's victory over death. You know, if the news was, he is not here, and that's where our statement ended, we'd still be debating today, did his disciples steal him? Did they hide him? Did they bury him somewhere else? But it says, he is not here, for he has risen. That's quite a difference. That means he's alive. He's alive. That means we too shall live, because he says, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Isn't that awesome? And he says, I'm the proof. He's risen from the dead, just as he said in Mark 8, when you read that, verses 31 to 33, he said, I'm going to be crucified but rise from the dead. As he said, on the third day, how wonderful. Jesus left the tomb. See, sin kills, but Jesus provided a way for sinners to be pronounced not guilty and be made alive. Be born again. Isn't that wonderful? The minute we're born again, we get a new life that's never going to end in heaven. It's so wonderful. That's the difference between all religions and beliefs and spiritual leaders. The empty tomb that we believe in. That's the difference. There's a lot of religion going and spirituality going around today. Not one can guarantee you that you'll never die. But Jesus does. He says, you live and believe in me, you'll never die. And then when you read 1 Corinthians 15, You see, there were like over 500 people that saw him at one time. How many eyewitnesses do you need? You'll see them in heaven. You walk around heaven one day, you know, billions of light years away, and you'll run into someone and they'll say, I was one of the 500 that it talks about in 1 Corinthians 15. Say, wow, you're the first one I met after all these years. You saw him after he rose from the dead. Isn't that awesome? Wow. He's risen just as he said. In verse 6, he's not here. Come see the place where the Lord lay. People are all invited to come and see for yourself. See the Lord. Taste and see that he is good. And, you know, in John chapter 20, it tells us his grave clothes were in there and the napkin from his head folded. He left neatly. All the clothes were folded and the napkin around him. It says in John 20, they were folded and put there neatly. There was no stealing of the body or a great escape. He left neatly. Now, verse 7, go quickly, tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. Hey, he's alive, and you're going to see him. Go tell his disciples. He's going before you to Galilee. What a privilege. These are the first evangelists. The first evangelists. Jesus rises, and what's the first and last commission? Go and tell others. Go tell them he's alive. From the day he rose, go and tell people that Jesus is alive. Good news for us, because in Romans 6, it tells us we identify with him in his death. We also will identify him with the new life. Death and resurrection, we identify with Jesus. Tell him he's going to Galilee, verse 8. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. They did it. You see, they could have just sat back and said, this is cool. Let's just think about this awesome event for a while and celebrate. No, they went to tell right away. Just went to tell others about it. And so as they're on their way obeying, guess who they run into? Sometimes people get so busy in ministry, they're too busy to sit with Jesus. Everyone can fall into that fault. But hey, get out of my way. I got to go minister over here. And they forsake their time with the Lord or living out their faith or have compassion and love for others and minister along that daily route of life that we take each day. Whatever path God puts you on, we take Jesus with us. Well, no, I can't do that because I got to go do this thing today. They could have really celebrated and focused on this event. They immediately headed up to where they were told to go and tell people about him. That's what they wanted to do. See, our faith is about Jesus and people, not about business or things or events. It's about Jesus and people. That's where our time is. That's where the fulfilling life is, that overflowing Christian life, just focused on that, just telling others and living it out, having joy in Jesus. So as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them. See, you're going to run into Jesus as you're walking along this road of life. He's with you all the time. And he says, rejoice. So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Man, they just grabbed down and wouldn't let go. If you've lost a loved one, I've heard many people say this, if I could only have them back for one more day, 1 hour, I would so cherish that hour. Just to talk with them, tell them I'm sorry for the things I did, communicate with them, share my love with them. Did you ever hear someone say that? Oh, if I could just have them back. Sometimes people die instantly, right away, and you have no time to tell them you love them, or you're sorry, or this or that. That's the way they felt about Jesus. They thought he was gone. And they run into him, and they just grabbed him by the feet. That's what we would do with that person that came back. We would all say, no, you're not going back. I'm holding on to you. See, but Jesus has work for them. Now, while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all the things that had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers. Here's the world story. We studied the truth. Now, here's the world story. The soldiers are in trouble because they're supposed to guard that tomb. They gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, tell them, his disciples came at night, stole him away while we slept. And if this comes, hey, no, you're not going to get in any trouble by telling that story, because if it comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure. We'll pay them off. Don't worry, we'll take care of it. We'll agree with your story. You know, they're getting very political here. Now, we'll just cover this up. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure. So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. What a lame story, isn't it? That they came and stole the body of Jesus. Wow. Gave them a large sum of money. We'll take care of it for you. First of all, they were given money. They were bought off to lie. Well, if it was true, why would you pay them off? Secondly, if the tomb was sealed and guards sit on it, the guard's life would be in danger if they lost that body. I don't think they'd risk their life. If they were all asleep, how did they see the disciples take him? That's the one that always I wonder at. If you say you were asleep and his disciples came and took him, then how did you see them take him? And wouldn't there be some noise? And what about the angel rolling away the stone? So it's full of holes. What about the grave clothes neatly folded there and Jesus not there? That's how rational man gets to deny Jesus. Then the 11 disciples went into Galilee to the mountains which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But can you believe it? Some doubted. And we know about doubting Thomas. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, now here's the part that's for us about Resurrection Day, about Easter Day, the day we're celebrating today. Jesus came and spoke to them. We are his disciples, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. I am the top authority. You listen to me. I am above all rulers, presidents, dictators, leaders, nations. I am the supreme authority. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So guess who rules? Jesus. I'll ask you that again. Guess who rules?
Jesus.
Okay. Jesus rules. And it says all authority. All. He's first. We listen to him. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Once they know that, once we know that and make him Lord and Master, then here's what we are told to do. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We see the Trinity here. That's the way we are to baptize people. So we make a disciple. In other words, we lead a person to Christ, and then they're baptized. Baptism doesn't save a person. You're baptized announcing to the world that you are saved. So we are to make disciples. Now, you'll say, well, I don't know that I've ever made a disciple. And I love the Lord and I'm a Christian. You're part of that work as you read 1 Corinthians. You see, we all have our part. One waters, one plants. God gives it the increase. We're all part of that process. You live your life out as a Christian. You do your part. You speak when you can. You live out the gospel in your life. You let people see Jesus in you, and you share when you can. And maybe you just planted the seed, and maybe someone else down the road, 3 years down the road, that speaks to them once, led them to the Lord. That's part of your fruit. We're a disciple. We follow Jesus, and we continue on. And then the last thing, verse 20. And we not only share the gospel with people, but we teach them to observe how many things? All things. We teach to observe all these things that the Lord said in his word. You can't take parts that you like and don't speak about the parts you don't. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. So he's with us even to the end of the earth. You're not alone. You're alive, and so is Jesus. And he's with you. He's with us here today. Let's close. Let's stand and close with this verse. We'll read it together. 1 Corinthians 15, 53 to 57. 1 Corinthians 15, 53 to 57. We'll read all of us will read together all of these verses. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of sin is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Christ our Lord, through our Lord Jesus Christ. God, we thank you for your word. We pray today that as we worship you before we leave, it truly is in spirit and in truth. Excite our hearts about our faith. What an awesome privilege to give people good news. Lord, open doors of opportunity for us. Lead those to you that don't know you that we know, Lord, and open our eyes and heart to the things of the Spirit. Thank you for saving us. Thank you that our grave will be empty. We will be with you. How awesome. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more crying. You defeated death. You defeated sin, Satan. We're alive. I pray that today and every day we're alive, we would act alive, letting others know we have eternal life and we will never die. And they will too if they come to you. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.